Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Consider the RIA model. Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move. To find your path, start with Schwab at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.
Real talk. Sometimes life throws decisions our way that feel impossible to navigate. That's where a little guidance can make all the difference. At Psychic Source, our trusted psychics go beyond basic predictions. They provide real insight, helping you understand your situation, see your options clearly, and take confident next steps. Your reading is always private and judgment-free, so whether you're facing a crossroads in love, career, or life's bigger questions, you'll get honest, compassionate advice in a safe space. And the best part? Our psychics are available 24/7 by phone, chat, or video, whenever you need them. Plus, we stand by our readings. If you're not satisfied, it's free. Because when you have greater wisdom, you can create a better outcome. Ready to take control of your future? Get a reading for just 83 cents per minute, plus 3 minutes free. Visit PsychicSource.com and use promo code HELLO to get started. Psychic Source. Insight when you need it most.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
So picture this. You're sitting in a Manhattan federal courtroom today, and the prosecution decides it's finally time to show the jury some videos. Not just any videos, mind you, but 40 minutes of what Sean Diddy Combs allegedly called freak-offs. And everyone in that courtroom, the judge, the lawyers, the jury, they're all wearing headphones like they're on the world's most uncomfortable silent disco. The public gallery, they get to stare at a blank screen while imagining what's happening based on people's facial expressions. Welcome to day 24 of the Diddy trial, where things somehow manage to get even more surreal. Let me back up for a second, because if you haven't been following this absolute circus, you need to understand what we're dealing with here. Sean Combs, you know, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, just Diddy, whatever he's calling himself these days, is facing federal sex trafficking and racketeering charges. We're talking one count of racketeering conspiracy, two counts of sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion, and two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution. If convicted on all counts, he's looking at 15 years to life. That's not a typo. Life in prison. For the man who gave us "I'll Be Missing You," though honestly, after today's evidence, that song title hits different. The day started with some proper courtroom drama when Judge Aaron Cybermanian decided to kick off juror number 6. Now, this wasn't your typical "sorry, you posted about the trial on Instagram" dismissal. No, this guy apparently couldn't keep his story straight about where he lived. During jury selection, he said he lived in the Bronx with his fiance and baby daughter. Then later he's like, "Oh yeah, I actually moved to New Jersey, but I also stay in the Bronx sometimes." Problem is, you need to be a New York resident to serve on a Manhattan federal jury. The judge called it serious concerns as to the juror's candor, which is judge speak for, "You lied, my dude." The defense went ballistic, arguing this was an attempt to remove a black juror from the panel. But the judge wasn't having it. And honestly, if you can't even be honest about your home address, maybe you shouldn't be deciding whether someone spends the rest of their life in prison. Just a thought. But that juror drama was just the appetizer for today's main course. Special Agent Delisa Penland from the U.S. Attorney's Office took the stand and basically laid out what prosecutors are calling a decade-long criminal enterprise. She presented this massive evidence chart tracking alleged encounters between Combs and Cassie Ventura from 2009 to 2017. And when I say massive, I mean this thing had more data points than a conspiracy theorist's bedroom wall. Here's where it gets properly wild. Penland started pulling out American Express statements showing how Combs allegedly used both his personal cards and Bad Boy Entertainment corporate funds to fly in male escorts for these encounters. We're talking separate flights booked for Cassie and some guy named Jules Theodore to meet at the London Hotel in New York back in December 2009. Because apparently when you're allegedly sex trafficking, you don't want your victims and the hired help sharing an Uber from the airport. The financial paper trail is honestly stunning in its brazenness. Like my guy, you're using your corporate American Express for this? Did nobody in accounting at Bad Boy Entertainment ever question why the company was paying for hotel rooms at Trump International under fake names like Frank Black and Janet Clark? Actually, scratch that. They probably knew better than to ask questions. Then the prosecutors pulled out the text messages, and folks, these are something else. January 2013, Combs texts Cassie, "Want to celebrate Christmas and have a freak off tomorrow or Friday?" Just casually dropping that in a text like he's asking if she wants to grab brunch. The casualness of it all is what gets me. This wasn't some shadowy operation happening in encrypted messages on burner phones. This was just Tuesday for these people. But wait, it gets worse. When one of the alleged victims, they're calling her Jane in court, tried to decline participating in one of these encounters, Combs allegedly texted the male escort saying, "I'm gonna need you to persuade her." That's not a suggestion. That's an order. And when the guy running a multi-million dollar empire tells you to persuade someone, that carries a certain weight, doesn't it? The prosecution also showed how meticulously planned these encounters were. We're not talking about spontaneous bad decisions here. There were hotel reservations, flight bookings, text confirmations, credit card charges for the rooms, the escorts, even the refreshments. One receipt from Trump International Hotel showed a $795.63 bill that included movie rentals. Movie rentals. Like, what are you watching during your alleged sex trafficking operation? Actually, don't answer that. Throughout all this evidence presentation, Combs is sitting there in his light-colored sweater and white-collar shirt, taking notes in a blue spiral notebook, like he's in a college lecture. His mom, sister, and three sons are in the gallery watching all this unfold. At one point, during a break, he actually turned to his mother and asked if she'd eaten, which, I mean, props for still caring about your mom's meal schedule while your entire alleged criminal enterprise is being dissected in federal court, I guess. The defense strategy seems to be painting all of this as consensual adult activities between people who are in relationships. During cross-examination, Combs's lawyer kept highlighting positive text exchanges between the alleged victims and Combs's staff. Like, there was this whole thing about Valentine's Day 2022 where Jane sent photos of a hotel room decorated with rose petals to Christina Corum, who was Combs's chief of staff. The defense is basically arguing that you don't send cute room decoration pics to your trafficker's assistant, which, fair point, but also maybe Stockholm Syndrome is a thing. What really strikes me about all of this is the sheer institutional nature of what's being alleged here. This wasn't some guy acting alone in the shadows. According to the prosecution, this involved assistants, staff members, corporate credit cards, and a whole infrastructure built around these encounters. It's like if Harvey Weinstein had an HR department specifically for his crimes. Actually, given what we're learning, maybe that's exactly what this was. The videos shown today, and remember, only the jury, judge, and legal teams could actually see them, allegedly came from a laptop that Cassie Ventura provided to investigators. One was 11 minutes long, another nearly 40 minutes. 40 minutes. That's longer than a sitcom episode without commercials. The prosecution is using these videos to establish that Ventura was present at hotels where male escorts had been flown in, basically showing the jury, here's the proof that what we're describing actually happened. Paralegal specialist Ananya Sankar also testified today, going through more message exchanges between Combs' staff and the alleged victims. The level of coordination revealed in these messages is something else. This wasn't a crime of passion or opportunity. This was allegedly a business operation with logistics, planning, and a budget line. Tomorrow, Brendan Paul, Combs' former assistant, is set to testify under an immunity deal. That's right, immunity, which tells you everything you need to know about what he's probably going to say. When your former assistant needs immunity to testify about their job duties, you might want to reconsider your management style. The prosecution says his testimony will take most of the day, which means we're in for another marathon session of extremely uncomfortable things to hear about your former boss. The prosecution indicated they might rest their case as early as Wednesday, which is ahead of schedule. They've got one more law enforcement witness after Paul, and then it's the defense's turn. The defense has three witnesses lined up for Friday, including Vashta Dunlap, who was the HR chief for Combs' company. Yes, the HR chief. I can only imagine what those employee handbooks looked like. Chapter 3, Appropriate Workplace Conduct. Chapter 4, How to Book Flights for Escorts Using the Corporate Card. Throughout today's proceedings, the prosecution kept hammering home their theme. This wasn't about consensual adult relationships gone wrong. This was about power, coercion, and a systematic pattern of exploitation that allegedly went on for years. They're painting a picture of a man who used his wealth, influence, and entire business infrastructure to facilitate these encounters, and who had a whole team of people helping him do it. The defense, for their part, is sticking to their story that everything was consensual, that these were adult relationships, and that the alleged victims benefited from their associations with Combs. It's a tough sell when the prosecution is showing receipts, literally showing receipts, for what they're calling a criminal enterprise. As we head into what might be the final week of the prosecution's case, the big question is whether they've proven their case beyond a reasonable doubt. They've got the financial records, the text messages, the videos, and tomorrow they'll have testimony from someone who was allegedly in the room where it happened. That's a lot of evidence. But juries are unpredictable, especially in high-profile cases like this. What we're watching unfold in this Manhattan courtroom isn't just the potential downfall of a music mogul. It's a window into how power operates in the entertainment industry, how alleged predators use their influence and infrastructure to facilitate their crimes, and how long these systems can operate in plain sight before someone finally says enough. The trial is expected to last about 8 more weeks total, which means we're not even halfway through this thing. If today was any indication, we're in for a lot more uncomfortable revelations. Tomorrow, when Brendan Paul takes the stand with his immunity deal in hand, we'll likely hear even more about how this alleged operation worked from someone who was supposedly right there helping run it. And Thursday, they're taking the day off because apparently even federal court needs a breather after days like today. So buckle up, folks. The Diddy trial is far from over. And if today taught us anything, it's that the prosecution came to play. They've got receipts, they've got videos, they've got cooperating witnesses, and they've got a very clear story they're telling about how one of hip-hop's biggest moguls allegedly used his empire for some very dark purposes. Whether that story convinces 12 New Yorkers, well, 11 now, plus whatever alternate juror takes number 6's place, remains to be seen. But one thing's for sure, Sean Combs' days of asking people if they want to celebrate Christmas and have a freak-off are definitely over.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
Well, I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed?
for so long.
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.